Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we're not going to have any bad weather here in this area here. What are y'all holding your ears for? Can you hear me now? Okay. Lord, we thank you for good weather here. We're not going to have any bad weather. Nobody's going to get any bad weather here in this area in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have an awesome time in you, Lord, because we're going to let you lead everything. And we praise you and we glorify you. And Lord, I just thank you for the things that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Father, for what's been done today even. And it's been an awesome day. And I thank you and I praise you. It's going to be an awesome evening too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, yeah, they have predicted tornadoes and all kinds of garbage for here, but we're not going to get it. We prayed. Yeah, that's what they predict. That's what the deep state predicted. Well, the deep state ain't running this area. Amen. All right. Has anybody got anything they want to pray about? Amen. I want to pray for, I want to just pray. Father, I lift up Tiana and Samuel. I thank you, Lord, for breaking the curse that's on that house, that they keep throwing things around and acting stupid in that house, the demons. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And I command them to go from that house right now in Jesus' name. And I command that door to be shut supernaturally where they can't come back in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that they have peace once again in that household in the name of Jesus. And I bind you, demons, from coming back in there and throwing things around and opening doors and doing all that nonsense. And I bind you from doing it. The Lord says what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, so you're bound. In Jesus' name, for messing with that family. And I thank you, Lord, for cleansing that house once again. Amen. And amen. All right. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you that you're exposing these Muslims in our country and around the world for who they are and what they are. They are a terrorist group that wants nothing but complete control of everybody. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that they are being thrown out of the houses of the West. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Here and in the Americas, and also in Britain and all over Europe. And I praise you for it, Father, because there are a terrorist group that means no good for anyone. And I praise you and thank you for doing that, Lord. Let the Christians rise up against them and start praying. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you show your love to them. Show your love. You have all over the world. You have shown your love in various Muslim houses and have changed families to you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. And I ask that more of that be done in Jesus' name. And I know that it comes because of our faith, our prayers to do that. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that all over the Middle East and all over the East, that people will be coming to you because of what your angels and you're doing and your son's doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've seen a few. Marco Rubio had a wonderful talk about Islam here the other day. And I mean, he just laid it out. He said that it's a religion, but it's a political religion. And he said, they want to take over and they want to, you know, that's in the Quran. If you don't like the way they do, they'll kill you. They believe in killing. They believe in everything. They believe in pedophilia. It's an atrocious thing that those people are in. They're caught up in. Just, I don't know where it is. I just ran across it one day. Just type in YouTube, Marco Rubio's talk on Islam, and you could probably find it that way. Yeah. It's pretty real good, actually. He didn't pull any bones about it, and he didn't have any left wing people sitting there trying to hound him about it. He just went up there and told what it was. How many of you know that it is a anti-Christ religion? It's an anti-Christ religion. They believe in pedophilia. I mean, when you got 40 and 50 year old men marrying 9 year old girls, what do you call that? And if they're, well, I'm not going to go into it. Y'all can find it on YouTube. It's crazy. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for cleaning up the world. It's going to happen one of these days. And Lord, we thank you for the man-child anointing and the bride anointing real soon. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Uh-oh. Did I run Ben or Andrew off? He's probably busy.
I think he was having trouble connecting to his audio.
Okay, has anybody else got a prayer? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? How many of you know your legal rights in Christ? There he is. I thought I ran you off there for a minute, Andrew. The question I ask is what? How many of you know your legal rights in Christ? And nobody raised their hand. Okay. Oh my. What's the one verse comes to your mind when you think about your legal rights in Christ? Y'all ain't helping me none here. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, one verse that comes to my mind is I have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's one thing.
Luke 10:19. Okay, what's another one?
All the
I'm not
promises of
talking to you. I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to everybody. So, well, what about the real main one that we often quote? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I was thinking about that today. I said, Lord, you're with us all the time, aren't you? Yeah, I'll never leave you. Can I tell you a secret and you won't tell say nothing to David about it? No. Yeah, okay. Oh, I don't know if I could sell this. Yeah, I can tell it, I bet you. He was walking down the driveway today. And he was talking to the Father. And he asked the Father, he said, would you give me a hug? Father, would you give me a hug? And the Father said, David, I'm with you all the time. And he said, all of a sudden, he felt this thing encapsulating. And just, it was just a real nice, huggable feeling, he said, that the Lord gave it to him. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way God, that's why the Father loves us. He loves us so much. Golly, yeah. Golly, it's just awesome. He'll do, he doesn't have a, he doesn't, he's not just, that time that Jesus came out of the floor over at Matt Nana's house and went over there and gave David a hug then. Jesus gave him a hug then when he told me to tell David to stand up, remember? And he walked over to give David, I said, David, he's hugging you. Turn loose, brother. And then he jumped out in front of him and started dancing. But anyway, they love us. God loves us. He loves that's it, not just him, it's all of us. We have that same God that lives in us too. I was praying this morning. It was a wonderful day for me today. I was praying this morning. I'm just gonna tell you that, and I was praying the Holy Spirit. To the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And I said, Lord, I want to be filled completely up, filled up by the Holy Spirit, with your Holy Spirit. And boy, did he ever fill me up this morning. My gracious sakes alive, I've been on cloud nine since then. I get some bad news and I'd laugh about it. You know what I'm saying? You ever... Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand till now.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to share. When I was on my way home, it was after I got on 81. Not long after I got on 81, I was going to turn on a Bible study to listen to, and I felt like the Lord said, just don't turn that on yet. Like it's like prayer. Spend some time with just me. And I never had such an awesome time with the Lord before while driving. It was at least an hour. I just started praying a little bit, and then I started, this tune just came to me. It's kind of like a, I can't even replicate. I can't remember what it was. But this tune just came to me, and things that just come to me, or like confessing God's word or whatever, I would just sing these prayers. And then after a while, then I started singing in the spirit and praying, and at just there were times when just tears came to my eyes. It was so awesome. It was awesome. It was so cool. I've never experienced that before. And it was like the night before when I was talking to Merle, before I went to bed, I just said, I don't know. I prayed some things or whatever, kind of, not religiously, kind of nonchalantly, but kind of, meaning it, I said, I was just saying, just thank you, Lord, for getting me home safe and no downpours, blah 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 blah, and that I have a good time with you while I'm on the road, and I did. I was like, wow, So, yeah, I prayed in the spirit a lot, but that like it over, I know it was at least an hour. That was just, and then when I did turn on the Bible study, lots of times I was, praying in the spirit while I was listening to that too. But it was so awesome. It was so cool. I was like, Lord, you're so awesome. Like, how can you not love a God that, our Father and our Savior, when, there's nothing He won't do for you. Nothing He won't. He's given us everything. As long as we're right with him, there's no bars hold us, you know? Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. I'm getting stirred up here. The Spirit of God is stirring up. Jesus' name. We were talking about what your legal rights are in Christ. Listen to this. Now, I'm reading from something here. I think this is something from Kenyon, but not, I'm just, I didn't say, but anyway. He says, before I go far, I want you to do something. If this is already stirring something in your spirit, I want you to write one word, risen. Because today you're going to rise into the fullness of what Christ has made you. If you're ready to step out of spiritual ignorance and into the revelation, that will change everything. Now he says, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Y'all just bear with me for a few minutes here. And here's what it says. Listen to the words. This is what is very important. And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him. With who? With him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, read it again slowly. And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, do you see what this is saying? This is not a promise for the future. This is not something that's going to happen when you die and go to heaven. This is a legal declaration of your present position. Right now, today, you have been raised up. You have been seated, and not just anywhere. You've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And most believers don't have an idea of what this means. They read it, think it is beautiful language, and they think it's symbolic. They think it's encouragement, but it's far more than that. This is the legal foundation of your authority over every power of darkness. In the ancient world, the one who sat had the authority, and the one who sat had the power, and the one who sat had the final word. When a king sat on his throne, it was a declaration that the battle was over. It's over. And when a judge sat in his seat, it was a declaration that the verdict had been rendered. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, it was a declaration that redemption was finished. But here's what'll shock you. God did not just seat Jesus. He seated you. Whoo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My glory, hallelujah. Somebody ought to be jumping up and down and singing and praising God. Ephesians 2 and 6. He made us to sit with him. You're not standing before the throne begging. You're not kneeling outside the door waiting. You're seated with Christ. In the place of authority, in the place of triumph, in the place of dominion. Now, how come Satan fears this truth? Because the moment you realize where you're seated, you're going to stop begging and start reigning. Start reigning. You will not R-A-I-N, it's R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G, reigning. You will stop crying and start commanding. You will stop living beneath circumstances and start living above them. But here's the problem. The church has never taught this. Most preachers don't even preach it. Most believers don't even know it. And so generation after generation of Christians live like spiritual orphans when they are sons. They live like slaves when they are heirs. They live defeated when they are more than conquerors. Whew. He said, listen, I'd rather give the believer too much confidence in Christ than leave them with too much confidence in the devil. Let me say that again. Listen, I'd rather give the believer too much confidence in Christ than leave them with too much confidence in the devil. That's a good statement there. We ought to put that down and file it, make sure that we don't do that. Because right now the church is filled with people who believe the devil is stronger than he is. They believe sickness has more power than it does. They believe that sin has more dominion than it does. They believe their past has more claim on them than it does. And all of this is because they don't know where they are seated. You see, Ephesians 2:6 does not just tell you that you are seated. What does it tell you? Where you are seated. Woo, glory to God. You're seated in heavenly places. That means you're above the earth. You're above the storm. You're above the battle. You're above the enemy. Notice what else it says in Christ Jesus. And this is critical. You're not seated there because of your goodness. You're not seated there because of your work. You're not seated there because you prayed harder or faster or longer or gave more money. You're seated there because you are in Christ. And where he is, you are. And what he has, you have. And what he won, you won. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him. When Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, you ascended with him. And when Jesus sat down in the place of victory, you sat down with him. Folks, this is not theology. This is legal reality. This is covenant truth. This is the finished work of the cross. Now, let me show you something. He said, is this okay? Can I go a little bit further? Okay. He said, now let me show you something that will make this even clearer. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, and listen to what the word says. I don't know about y'all, but the Spirit of God is rising up in me now. I can't hardly sit down. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 23. I'm liable to just float right out of here. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. Did he say some things? No, he said all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Whoo, glory to God. That's some, boy, you ought to just get those verses there. We ought to just study on that for about a year and a half. My Lord, have mercy. He said, do you see it? Jesus is not just above some powers. He is far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. That means every demon, every disease, every accusation, every curse, every bondage, every fear, every spirit of darkness, all of it is beneath him. And here is the revelation that'll change your life. If you are seated with him, then all of those things are beneath you too. Think about that right now. You're not beneath the attack, you're above it. You can stomp on it. You're not beneath the fear, you are above it. You are not beneath the accusation. You are above it because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, praise be to God. Far above all principality and power. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, but brother, I don't feel like I'm above anything. I feel defeated. I feel weak. I feel like the enemy is winning. And that's exactly the problem. You're living by what you feel. You're living by the flesh. Instead of living by what God has said, you're living by your experience instead of living by your legal standing. This is what we talked about in the Bible study. You're living by the symptoms instead of living by the Word of God. It's acting on what the Word of God says. Let me tell you something. When a police officer steps into the middle of a busy intersection, he doesn't feel strong enough to stop the cars. Physically, he can't do it. A car weighing 2 tons rushing toward him at 30 miles an hour could crush him in an instant. But when he lifts his hand in uniform, every car stops. Why? Because he's not operating in his own strength. He's operating in the authority of the law. He's representing the power of the government, and the cars do not respond to his feelings. They respond to his position. That's you. You're not operating in your own strength. You're operating in the authority of Jesus Christ. You are representing the power of the throne of God and the powers of darkness. Do not respond to how you feel. Now, yeah, I'm going to say that again. You're not operating in your own strength. You're operating in the authority of Christ. You are representing the power of the throne, and the powers of darkness don't respond to how you feel. They respond to where you are seated. But here's the tragedy. Most Christians have never been taught this. They have been taught to beg God for victory. They have been taught to plead with God for healing. They have been taught to cry out to God for deliverance. And all the while, God is saying, I've already given you the victory. I've already provided healing. I have already delivered you. Now take your seat, enforce what I've finished. The prayer of faith is not the begging of an inferior, it is the claiming of the rights of a son. And that is what most believers don't understand. They pray like orphans when they are sons. They cry like beggars when they are heirs. They grovel like slaves when they are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Whew, glory to God. I'm going to stop right there. I'm getting too fired up here. Glory to God. That help you? Help me. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. When we really, really find out who we are in Christ, and I believe we're getting there pretty quick, too. I believe we are. I think all of us are. That revelation that we talked about the other night about who we are in Christ, and even tonight, the things that we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 2. You ought to study that and study that and study that. Ephesians 2, what is it, 6? Study that and study that and study that until it gets down into your spirit and you understand who you are in Christ. Once you understand who you are in Christ, whoo, the devil ain't got a chance. Now, I talk a little bit about John Lake, and I talk about, of course, David and E.W. Kenyon. And I like all of them. I like all of them. But sometimes one or two of them will stand out in your mind more than the others do. And I love to encourage people to be who they are in Christ. And I love the way that some of these people do that. And that's why I read these things, and so that we can understand that, man, we don't have to sit there and be hammered by the enemy every day in and day out, when God has already given us the door, the opportunity to, what did he say? We're above all principalities, powers, didn't he? That's what he said. We're above it. We're above it. And if we're above it, he's got to go. Go ahead, Ben.
It's funny because I was kind of talking about this with Karen yesterday. This whole like who we are in Christ and what it truly means, and how in depth that is and what it all incorporates, and the verses that really come to my mind. That those verses in Ephesians did come to my mind, but what I really think about And what really explains who we are in Christ, just to me at least, very simply and plainly. In John chapter 17, I find Jesus just explains it. He's praying to the Father for us, and he's sort of not only praying to the Father, but he's like, this is what I've done for them. This is what they're going to do within me and within you as well. And so just the verses that kind of point out to me with kind of what we're talking about, like who I am in Christ, where do I stand, what can I do? In John chapter 17 and verse 18, even as thou didst send me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for them, oh, sorry. And for them, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. And not for these only do I ask, but for them also that believe unto me through their word, that all be one, even as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, and they also be in us, that the world believe that thou didst send me. And I have given them the glory which thou hast given me, that they be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they be perfected into one, that the world know that thou didst send me and lovest them even as thou lovest me. Father, what thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also be with me, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, because thou lovest me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world also knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. And this is the really good verse. And I made known to them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me be in them, and I in them. So you were talking about Michael
Yeah, glory
before.
to God. Thank you, Jesus.
You
Go
were
ahead.
talking about the love that God has for us. It's the same love that he had for Jesus.
Yeah.
If you believe that, well, geez, your imagination tends to go wild.
Yeah, absolutely. After all the thing, here's the way we think. Well, after all the things that I've done in my life, and he still loves me, I don't understand that. You're not supposed to understand it. You're just supposed to accept it, believe it, walk in it. Woo! Glory to God. That's good, Ben. I like that prayer in 17.
It's one of my favorite chapters.
Yep, that's a good one. It's an absolute good one. All right, anybody else? I would like to see. I would love to see everybody that I associate with here and locally just be w wonderful. I keep going back to E.W. Kenyon. He went 40 years in the ministry, and never did anyone in his congregation or fellowship die from anything other than old age. They did not d die from disease, any of that stuff. Nothing. 40 years, never lost a person. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. And I'm going to believe it too. That's where we are. We ain't going to lose now another person. Woo, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, I know that we're waiting on the anointing and stuff, but why wait? Why wait? We don't have to wait, do we? That's not what the word says. Word says can be filled every day. Yeah, there you go, Jimmy. We'll all be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. Woo, glory to God. Healthy too. How many of you walking in divine health? Yeah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Devil's a liar, ain't he? He's a liar. He is an absolute liar. And there's one thing. I forget for who it was that said that. I read this, but he said this. He said, I said, I heard somebody praying, and they were praying, Lord, help me to bring this stronghold down. Help me, Lord, to bring all of these things that are happening to me down. And the Lord told him, he said, they're already down. They're below your feet. Step on them. Glory to God. And that's what he's talking about, is we have dominion. We have authority. Read Genesis. What he gave us, what did he give us in, what was it, Genesis 2, I believe it was. He said, you have dominion over all the earth. There ain't nothing in the earth that you don't have, we don't have dominion over if you're in Christ. Nothing. Nothing out there. There ain't nothing that comes against us that can. Oh gosh, I wish I could tell you this. Yes, we are. We're all sons of God. When you're a son of God, you got the same power and the same authority and everything, and the same love in your heart if you just believe it. You got the same heart that Jesus does. I love to talk about Jesus and what he is in us, because it gets me all stirred up and wants me to go out. I want to go out there and grab, go over at Food City and sit at the front door and wait on some of them old people that come up, crippled up and all that kind of stuff. Come here, lady. Let me show you what my daddy does. Go ahead, Missy.
What you just said there made me think of one day I was talking to my mom, and popped into my head, and the boldness just came right out of my mouth. I told my mom, I said, the Lord's going to restore you and dad's health and everything, and you and dad are going to pray for other people your age, and they're going to be healed.
Amen.
And I believe that. I mean, it just came into my mind and out of my mouth that quick. You know, I didn't even think about it, you know. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. When you get that, well, go ahead, Anna. No, you go ahead. I've talked enough for a while.
I was just gonna say, because you're talking about, believing for, it all now, because we have provision for it now. I was just going to share this quick little dream I had the other day, because when people, David and other people, talk about the restoration and the dreams people have had and the visions people have had of heaven, 30 seems to be the usual number. Oh, we're all going to be 30, in heaven. Everyone seems like they're 30. That's what the restoration is going to be. We're going to be like 30-year-olds. Well, I am 30, and I had this dream the other day that my birthday's not till March, but I had a dream that my birthday came around again. And I turned 30 again. And I was like,
Amen.
wow, Lord,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gosh, 30 was so long ago. I almost seen three of them. Yeah, I like that, Jenny. 30 forever. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody getting fired up over the Holy Spirit and God and who we are? I am. Golly, I love to talk about it. So let's keep talking about it. Somebody talk about it. Who are you in Christ? Let's see. Pat? Oh, there you are. You got your hand up. Sorry. I didn't see you.
Missy,
Go ahead.
Missy was raising her hand. Oh,
No,
I'm
she
not gonna
wasn't.
let her go before.
Oh, she had her. Missy, you know you can't raise that physical hand. You're over here down in the pack, and I can't see you.
Well,
Yeah, you
I
got
was
to do
just going
like
to make
you
a
got to
brief
do like
comment.
Julie.
When Anna was saying about 30 years old, it's just like, I'm like, oh my gosh, both my boys are over 30. And Alex, he's going to be 29. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not that old. I'm not that old. I am not that old. I'm 30 years old too. I'm younger than my boys. How about that one?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm as old as Blake now. Blake turned 30 this year too, Anna. Yeah.
No, he must be 32, Michael. 33. He's Matthew's age.
Well, I was just seeing if you knew. I recovered on that real good, didn't I? Go ahead, Pat. You're right. He's 32, 33, 33, he told me. I don't know. I always see him as 30. Go ahead, Pat.
Did I mention on a previous night about a lady that I was praying for here at this project
I don't
that
think so.
got in an auto accident and was having trouble with the insurance company? No? Okay.
Not to my recollection.
Okay. Well, this lady, is actually a security guard, and she's an older lady, and she's from India originally. Been over in this country for quite a while, but she doesn't speak really clear English. I mean, absolutely clear. You have to kind of focus and listen. But anyway, she got in an accident. She was on, she came up to a stop sign, or I don't know if she was on the freeway or what, but she came up to, cars were stopped. So she slowed down and stopped. And I don't know if it was an accident or what. And a truck came up on the back of her and hit her car and totaled it. And spun her around in the lane, and she's ended up on the median, and they had to have the ambulance workers pull her out of the passenger side because the driver's side door was crunched and it couldn't be opened. And anyway, they ended up taking her to the hospital, and in the process, she talked with the person that did it. And he said, "You know, I'm really sorry. That was my fault. I was reaching down to grab my cup of coffee, and I didn't see him and slammed into your back, etc." And then she went to the EMT or whatever they are. Medical people took her away and put her in the ambulance, took her to a hospital, etc. So she's dealing with her insurance company, and she doesn't have collision. She only has liability or something like that. So her insurance company is kind of giving her the kind of pushing it back on her that, her damages her to her car, and since her car's been totaled, she needs to talk directly to this other insurance company in order to resolve it. Anyway, I don't want to get involved in that big thing, but this other person's insurance company is one of the major big insurance companies. Huge. Advertises on TV all the time, good funny ads, and all that sort of stuff. And insurance company adjuster told her to, called her up like the next day and said, "We'll give you $11,000 for your car." And she was asking me, what she should do, this and that, and in one sense, I didn't want to get, involved to the point where I was giving her advice that I really didn't have much experience in doing anyway. But anyway, the bottom line is now it's been a month, and this she's still without a car, and she's, concerned and whatnot. And she was talking to me the other night, and really kind of pouring out her part that she doesn't know what to do, and people are trying to take advantage of her, and because she's doesn't speak very good English and whatnot. And so I kind of I directed her to, she may want to get a lawyer for herself in order to have her lawyer speak to this insurance company and kind of put a little fear into them, because basically the other party was completely at fault and admitted it. Well, as I was reading yesterday, I can't think of what day this is. This Thursday. I was reading in the Psalms yesterday, and obviously I've been reading the Psalms really every day. And this Psalm came to me as I was reading through Psalm 18, and it said, and it kind of an interesting thing. Well, first of all, yesterday morning, the Lord put her on my heart, and basically told me to pray with her. And I didn't know what to pray, but he and kind of gave me a vision of the process of doing it and making sure that she's in agreement and all this sort of thing. So that was in my mind as the kind of the foundation. When I got up and started reading, I'm going to read this verse that the Lord gave me. It said in verse 6 of Psalm 18, it says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears." Excuse me. "Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils." And my eyes stuck, my thoughts stuck right on that, the foundations of the world. And I thought, the foundations of the world? What do you mean, the foundations of the world? A foundation on a house, for a house or a building or something like that, is that hidden structure underneath the ground that supports that building. It rests upon that foundation as a support. This verse says, "The channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare." The foundations, what the world is supported on, what it's resting on. And when I thought of that, the channels of water appeared. The first thing I thought of was Moses. And when he was standing at the Red Sea, just performed, at God's direction, performed all these miracles and plagues, and brought the fear of God on the Egyptians and on the Pharaoh. And he finally let them go. And then they're out by the Red Sea with their back to the Red Sea. They're hedged in. And of course, they look across the way, and Pharaoh is coming full speed ahead with his whole army. And of course, the children of Israel, the people started crying out in fear. You know, what do we, save us? What are you going to do? What's going on here? Excuse me. And so God said, told Moses to lift his staff up. I'm maybe getting the story wrong because I didn't go back and reread it. I may be getting a little of the Ten Commandments movie in here. But he said, raise up your staff. And he raised up that staff, and a channel of water appeared in the Red Sea, split wide open. And in this, and hope I can explain what the Lord was, the thought progression, but the foundation, and it says the foundations were laid bare. They were revealed. The foundations, that which the world structure is supported by, what supports the world system and thinking and everything, it was laid bare, was opened up to Moses. And then the children of Israel had a path to escape through the midst of the waters. And that foundation that the world rests on are these natural laws that this world was created by, the law of gravity, the law of cause and effect, all these various laws, the law of electricity, all these things that function in this world. That God created this world to function by and in accordance to. It said th those foundations and supporting structures were laid bare, they were revealed. And the thing that hit me was, who created those laws, that those found that foundation, those laws that this world functions by, and I'm talking about law, like, water. If you fall under the water and you start trying to breathe, you're going to drown and die. That's kind of a natural law. You step off of a cliff, you're going to go down. That's a natural law of gravity. So these natural laws that the world functions by. But what created those laws, what created this world, was God's word. He spoke it into existence. And in that time that Moses is on the side of the Red Sea, who was speaking to him? God. And he said, raise your staff. And when he raised that staff, the waters separated. In other words, the natural laws were overcome. And Michael even mentioned it in that story that he was just now talking about. The same example is that God's word supersedes all of that, everything. The natural law that he created this world to function on, and then If there's something other ne required necessary, he speaks it forth. We speak it forth in the name of Jesus, and it has to obey. In other words, like that example Michael just gave of the traffic cop standing in the middle of the intersection. That intersection is governed by the natural, normal laws that were set into place. But when that policeman walks out into the middle of that intersection and raises his hand, he supersedes that natural law. His authority rules over it, and that natural law has to give way. So anyway, I'm probably making a long story or a short story long, who knows? So it appeared to me when I was talking to this lady that now, and now that they're trying to say it was her fault, which is ludicrous. It's her fault that she must have hit somebody in front of her and caused everything behind her to go. She's dealing with a giant that doesn't want to pay, doesn't want to pay. And so when she was, I went over to her last night. She's sitting at the front desk there. And so I went over to her and just to talk to her, sit down. And she was pouring out her complaint, you know, she didn't know what to do, and she was so fearful and this and that, and anxiety. She just is overwhelmed with anxiety because she doesn't know these guys are trying to take her, and she signed over the title to her car to this insurance company. And so I said, "Do you want me to pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." And so I said, "Now, you're dealing with something that is way beyond your strength, and quite frankly, way beyond my strength. You're dealing with a massive, big insurance company that doesn't want to give up any money to you to make you whole." So, and I said, "And because this world is lawless and selfish and does not think in benevolence, they have to be forced to think benevolently, shall we say. And it may very well mean that there needs to be fear applied to their situation." So I said, "So I'll pray with you and we'll ask God to do something about it." And so I reached out my hand, and she put her hand on my hand, and I prayed, and I started commanding, saying, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you, anxiety and fear, leave this woman now immediately, and in the name of Jesus, I push that fear and anxiety right over onto that insurance company and those people, and let them feel the fear of God and various other things." I prayed. I don't remember now exactly what it was. Excuse me. But as after I got through, I opened up my phone and I showed her this verse that I just read to you. I said, sorry, I'm stumbling here now. I said, In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried, and my cry came unto God, and he heard my voice and out of his temple, and my cry came before him into his ears. And I said, and you have cried, and we have cried to God right now to intervene in this situation. And I said, then the channels of waters appeared and the foundations of the world were laid bare. The foundations, I said that God is going to shake their foundations of that insurance company. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to shake them and he's going to put fear in them. And what they're dependent on right now, as far as their financial strength and overwhelming power of oppression with lawyers and all that stuff, that ceases. And God is going to put a fear in them. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to put a fear in their hearts. And so, and I said, now you, I said, now you just believe that that's what God's going to do. He is going to shake that situation up and he's going to shake a vehicle out of them for you. So you have something to drive, you know? And then I said, now, and this just came to me. I said, now, when you take, when you take an aspirin for your headache, do you expect that that headache and that pain's going to be gone immediately, like the second you take it? She said, no. I said, well, then give God that same benefit and let him have some time with this. But you just realize that the heavens are moving right now on your behalf. Whether you know it or not, they're shaking and putting the pieces together, and they're going to shake fear into that company. I don't know how it's going to be done, but you can be guaranteed. And all you need to do is read the rest of that psalm. Verse 7. Then the earth shook and quaked, and what? The foundations of the mountains were trembling. They were shaken because he was angry. And he's angry because of oppressors that try to take advantage of people, of the weak. And that's why God has given us the ability in our weakness to cry out to him and trust him, and he will intervene. And the moment I got through praying and talking with her, she said, listen, the anxiety, I feel so much better. The anxiety is gone. The fear is gone. I don't feel it anymore. I said, well, you just continue to trust that God has got your case. You know, your case is there. And so anyway, I just wanted to testify about that because I know that God's doing something. I mean, he gave me that verse, and I would have never, worked, prayed with somebody or whatever, in the midst of the lobby here or whatever. But nevertheless, it's done. And anyway, I know God's going to do something about it. So I thank you, Father. I praise you for the work you're doing. You have laid open the structure that men depend on, and you've given us the ability through your word to supersede and shake and bring you into the situation and shake those foundations and bring people into a fear of God, which will eventually change their hearts if they yield to you. And so I thank you for it. Lord, I just bless this woman that you would encourage her and strengthen her in your faith, Lord, and just pull a new car out for her. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. She has the victory. Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to say, The Lord can do it. That's great, Pat. When we had our accidents, been almost 5 years ago now, I guess. But my dad was like, "Oh my gosh." He's like, "I'm gonna help you." He's like, "I'm gonna be on the phone with you when you're talking to these people. They stiff everybody. They never are generous. They never do anything fair." And but we were praying. We're like, "Thank you, Lord. They're gonna be good with us." And we're not, people were saying, some different people were saying, "Oh, you're probably gonna need to get a lawyer to get them to pay for your car, or do it, pay for Matthew's medical bills or anything." The guy that they gave to us was so good. He was. I was like, "Man, we got like, I don't know, $400 worth of car seats." He's like, "I'll send it right now." He's like, "I'll send you that money right now." And then he was like, "Okay, how much is your car worth?" And they ended up giving us what the car was worth, more than the car was worth, because it's not worth a lot anymore. But what it ended up being what we paid for the car years before, and miles way before, and ended up, anyways, it ended up being great. But what I wanted to say too was, going back to what you were sharing, Michael, about who we are in Christ, OB was asking this morning during our Bible reading, why did Jesus call himself the Son of Man? Like, that's such a weird thing to say. And so we're kind of having our own conversation about that this morning. It's because we're also sons of men. So everything he has is everything we are. And it's something I never get tired of, like you said, talking about it or hearing about it. And over this last probably year or two, I have become so just kind of dissatisfied with my walk with the Lord. Like, man, there's so much more, and I'm not walking in it. Like, I'm not walking in the authority and the power and the manifestations. Like, I want to see. Like, was so tired, getting so tired of just like, you get a sore throat and it just runs its course, and you pray but nothing happens. And I'm like, no, like, I'm just so tired of that. Like, I want to walk in it. And I've been more like probably diligent, I guess is the word, maybe, because I'm like desiring it so much to see the power of God in my life and to overcome and all these things. And I have been seeing so much more fruit of that. And I think probably part of it before for me was just spiritual laziness. Like, oh, I pray, I already pray, like, but not really in faith or anything. Just kind of casually, because that's what Christians do, right? You get a sore throat, so you pray. And it gets me so excited. Like, I've been diligent to pray for a lot more little things, and it's just gotten me really excited and overcoming things. Like okay, I can't let this pass by. I gotta, walk this out in faith. And so anyways, I just never get tired of hearing it either. It's one of those probably the most important food items we got on the menu of the Bible. It's like the steak of the Bible. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Satan is pretty good at getting us distracted off of who we are in Christ. He does that real good, and that's where we've got the power to defeat him to do that. Satan can't take our authority away from it, but he can sure steer us away from it, and he does a lot of times by keeping us focused on what's happening to us rather than what God has done for us and where we are in Christ. He keeps us distracted, as I said. There's one thing in here I wanted to share. He said, now here's where it gets practical. In Romans 8:37, y'all don't mind if I go into this again, do you? Because I'm telling you, it really helps a lot of people when they hear this and believe it and start believing it, start walking in. Romans 8 and 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. That means we're not merely survivors of the battle. We are sharers in the victory of another. Jesus fought the fight. Jesus won the war. Jesus conquered Satan, and now we reign in the triumph of his victory. And that's what it means to be seated. You're not down in the dirt fighting for ground. You're seated in the place of authority, enforcing what Christ has already won. Woo, glory to God. He said, here's an illustration he gives. He said, let me give you a picture. Imagine a soldier who has fought a long and brutal war. He has bled, he has suffered, he has lost friends, and finally, after years of conflict, the enemy surrenders. The war is over, the victory is won. The general plants the flag and declares the triumph. Now imagine that same soldier years later still swinging his sword at shadows, still fighting battles that have already been won, still bleeding for ground that has already been taken. You'd say that he's living in the past. You'd say he doesn't know that the war is over. And that's the picture of most believers today. The war was won at Calvary. Christ raised that banner of victory, and Satan is a disarmed foe, Lord our God. He ain't got nothing on us. Yet if we don't know this, you're going to keep swinging that sword at the shadows and uncertain. But when we understand that, Ephesians 2 and 6, you stop swinging, you sit down, not in passivity, not in laziness, but in rest, in authority, in confidence. Because you know the battle is already finished. You know the victory is won. You know you're seated with Christ far above all power of the enemy. Glory be to God. Oh my. That means that nothing has a right to dominate you. Nothing has a right to dominate you but Jesus. That's it. The Lord God Almighty. And this is where most Christians miss it. This is what Kenyon Stark keeps on saying. He said, they pray for healing, but they do not enforce their authority over sickness. They pray for provision, but they do not stand in their covenant rights. They pray for peace, but they do not take their seat above the storm. Mark 16, 17, and 18. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just the apostles. That's us too. That's all of us. Praise be to God. We just need to understand who we are in Christ and quit trying to fight battles we don't need to fight. Just let Jesus do it. He's a whole lot better at winning those battles than we are. Praise be to God. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
This song popped into my head. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
It's mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind.
Victory today is mine. Victory is mine.
Come on,
victory
now.
Is mine.
Sing it.
Victory today is
mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind.
Victory today is mine.
Yeah,
amen.
Glory
praise
to God.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Victory is ours.
Yep.
Amen.
I'm
Thank
write
you,
that
Lord.
Down. I'm gonna get Chuck to play that tomorrow night. I forgot about that song. Woo! Is it? I don't know. It may be. It may be. Oh, Debbie, you missed it. You're just now getting it. Oh my goodness, girl. Woo, did you ever?
I've been listening. I heard it. Our victory is mine. Yeah.
No, I ain't talking about that. All right. Good. Okay. We just did, Barbara. Did you hear us? She said, can we play that song now, Missy? Didn't we just get through singing that song? I thought so. Well, We can put it up on, me and Missy, we'll have to get together and do a duet on YouTube. Barbara wants to hear it off of YouTube. Okay. I don't know, Barbara. I'm not sure who sang that song originally. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
So, the song, I want to make a statement on that song that was just sung, Victory is Mine. So in the sanctuary, okay, God is saying to us, come out from their midst. So isn't that what you're saying? Get behind me, you know? And be separate, so get away from me and touch no unclean thing. You know, it's almost as if he's warning us that that's what we should be doing in this sanctuary, because he's dwelling in us and walking, you know. And he's saying, and be their God, and they shall be my people, you know. And of course he's maturing us and having us bear more fruit, you know. And then he mentions the 7-in-1 promise of Second Corinthians. So you know, it's just amazing, you know, that we have to get, like Michael was saying, we have to get a handle on this. We have to get a grip on it, you know. And it's just, you know, even when those verses Ben mentioned in 17 about being one, you know, it's one body. What? You know, Jesus is in that one body with us, you know, else we wouldn't be seated and made to be seated in heavenly places and raised up with him there. So, you know, one body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of us all. And that's just backing what he says over here again. So I got two testimonies or two witnesses of this, and he's over all, in all, and through all. So, and the through all would be what was mentioned there in Mark chapter 16. It's, you know, if you're one body with Jesus, then whose hands are really going on for that healing? You know, and I'm just thinking that, you know, I'm just commenting here. If I'm saying something weird, because it's certainly, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful imagination that he's giving me anyway. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, he's giving it to all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God.
You know, I'd have to say that the imagination gets really heightened in this fellowship a lot too. So praise God, it's a spirit of encouragement. You know, there was
Yes, thank you,
an
Jesus.
encourager in the book of Acts too. So it's not his, you know. It's if it's one body, then who really is encouraging us here? Praise, glory, it's not my word, it's his word, you know. He's trying to write it as fast as he can upon my mind and heart, you know. But I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm not going to make no joke about that. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. You know, when we realize that everything changes, when we understand that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Praise be to God. That's where we are in Christ. We've already got the victory. We're hanging on to it. We're not hanging on to it. We're going to keep it in Jesus' name. And we have to just understand who we are in Christ. Exercise that faith, like I talked about yesterday. Exercise your faith by acting on the word. You act on the word, you build your faith up. Thank you, Jesus. What is that, Lucy?
Victory is mine.
Oh, you didn't like our rendition?
Barbara asked for YouTube once, so there you are.
Okay. All right. Anyone else got anything? What time? Oh, we got plenty of time. I've got a wonderful testimony. I wish I could give you. I can't right now, but I'll just kind of hint around it. Okay, give me a minute, Julie. I had a bad thing that happened back in Arkansas. That was weighing heavy on my soul. And I just said, this ain't right. This is not good. This is, I don't have to put up with this garbage. And so I went in to David and we talked about it. And so we prayed. And boy, I tell you, the load that came off my shoulders was just immense. And it was because I started believing right away that God had already handled that situation. It's already done away with. Not seeing any results from it. But, you know, it was the very next day that I got confirmation that everything was okay, that God had taken care of it, and it is gone. And it was not some, one of these days I'll tell you what it was, but I can't right now. But I'm telling you, it was real big in my life. And praise God. God is so good. You know, I've been praising him for just the last week or so. I just, man, I get up praising God. Gosh, you're so awesome. And this just happened just a few days ago. But anyway, it was a wonderful testimony to me that if you just forget the devil and start believing God, that he'll take care of it pretty quick. And like I said, it wasn't no little bitty thing either. It was something big, huge in my life. And the Lord just took care of it just in a split second. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God. Because I didn't worry, after we prayed, I didn't worry about it. I didn't worry about it. I was it. I knew it was taken care of. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to act on that faith. How do you act on it? Well, you quit. First thing you do is quit worrying about anything and stop praising God that it's already done. And if it's a healing, you start acting like you're healed. You rest. That's right, Barbara. You rest. Praise God. What is that? All right, anyone else? Whew, my goodness. I wish somebody get fired up on faith tonight. I do. I wish somebody just get... I'll tell you what, let's pray. I want to pray something. Oh, Holy Spirit, just fill us. Fill us, Lord, with your presence. Fill us, Lord, with your presence in all of us. And I thank you, Lord, for when you fill us up, that distractions go. Everything that has kept us on anything but you, Lord. I thank you for just wiping it out of us, erasing it with that big supernatural heavenly eraser, Lord, out of each and every one of us. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that nothing else matters but sitting right there beside you in the heavenly places. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we are starting to get an idea who we are in Christ. And when we get that idea, when we get it solid in our spirit, Lord, we are on fire for you. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that the fire of God starts rising up in our spirit every day when we get up and start praising you, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for a new awakening in this group right here and the people that are listening out there. A new awakening, Father, in you And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us right now, because we're going to start believing. We're not going to give the devil any due anymore. It's all going to be you, Lord. We're going to focus on the scriptures that have told us who we are in Christ, that we're seated at the heavenly places right next to Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we have authority over all everything that the devil has thrown against us. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to walk in it. We're going to confess nothing but what the Word of God said. And when the devil comes and tries to attack us with thoughts and everything, we're going to cast those thoughts down, rebuke him, and start praying and believing God. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for an awesome, awesome time from this point on forward. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us. Fill us, Lord, right now. Whoa, fill us with the love, Lord. Fill us with the love. And I thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and shows us and does all the things. And let the gifts be in operation everywhere we go, Lord. Give us words of knowledge when we meet strangers to point them to you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation when we go out too. That we believe that when we put our hands on the sick, they're going to be healed just like that. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Not only that, Lord, we're going to be able to speak wisdom into people because you're going to give us that wisdom to speak to them, Lord, and bring them to you. And I thank you and I praise you for all that you're going to do in us, Lord. Lord, let our spirit be opened up to everything that you have for us. Let the fire of God be evident in us every time we step outside the door. Up that flame a little bit higher, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it. And let a smile be on our face everywhere we go, that the light of Christ would be shining forth from us to the people out there. And they say, man, you are lit up like a neon sign. Boy, what's wrong with you? No, ain't going to be nothing wrong. It's going to be what's right with you. And I praise you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I receive it from you right now, from this day on. Every day, Lord, I'm going to ask and I'm going to pray for your guidance that day. And I know you're going to do it because you've done it before. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. And you're going to do it for these other people too, Lord. When they ask, you're going to give. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just ask that you give us all a hug tonight. Give us all a hug. Yeah. Give us all a hug, Lord. Ooh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, my angels up there. Hey, Ariel. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I wish y'all could feel what I'm feeling. My. Thank you, Jesus. I know you are. I know all of y'all. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Woo! Glory to God. Yeah. Father, I desire to dwell. I don't want to just visit. I want to dwell. I want to remain. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. My. All right. Anyone got something? Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
And all the redeemed says, Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, as the old country boy would say. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God, Lord. You are so awesome. My. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down all of the deep state out of this country, all of Balaam, all of it, Lord. Bring it all down. Bring it down. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon President Trump and his family and his administration. Lord, I ask and I pray. I heard that Brandon said something about that the deep state was going to try to kill Marco Rubio. Well, Lord, we just come against that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for your shield of protection around him at 24/7, that no attack from the enemy would penetrate in the name of Jesus. Thank you for doing that for Marco. In the name of Jesus. That's a true asset to this country is Marco Rubio. Y'all ever heard him talk? Yeah, he's good. He's really good. He talked about Islam and what it was to the United States and all countries in the Western world. Lord, open our heart to your presence. That's what I like. And for President Trump, yes, for President Trump as well, Lord. We thank you for your protection upon him as well. And J.D. Vance and all of the administration. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We believe you've got your warrior angels out there under his, around his whole administration, Lord, and bringing safety and protection to each and every one of them, just like you do to us, Lord. Yeah, and Trump's doubles, and all of the guy that plays him out there most of the time. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Whew. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, I want to play that song now that Missy put the chat.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Get me behind. Victory today. tell them, yes, it is. You know, they try to say that our traditional gospel music is about to be a thing of the past. But you know what I tell them? I say, if you get in trouble, you're going to have to go back to this same old music. If you walk in the doctor's office and he tell you you got 6 months to live, the hip-hop ain't going to help you. You're going to have to fall down on your knees every now and then and say...
Oh, you preach it, girl.
He was.
I told her to preach it. Praise God. Victory is mine. Yeah, I love that song. I'm trying to remember who brought that. Now, that was somebody's mother that brought that in, wasn't it? Don't say it. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember. Text it to me. I'm trying to think. Philip? Yeah, that was Philip Moore. Wasn't it? Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got something? That's a good song. I like that song. That was Dorothy Norwood, wasn't it? Yeah. Old time gospel singer. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Anybody got something they want to pray about? Well, I've this faith built up in this bunch now, man. You get what you want today. I'm telling you. You think one cent, 1,000, 2 cents, 2,000? Uh-uh, it's different than that now. It's 10 times that. Go ahead, Debbie. I'll quit talking.
Okay. I was wondering if I should share this word that they got today from the Lord.
All right.
You mentioned you in your prayer earlier. You mentioned about the Lord just speaking to us and probably put things through this line. So I thought maybe I should, or just didn't if I should do it now or just wait to blog it or something. But
go slow.
Okay. But because of things that are coming, you know, it happens soon, you know, he's letting us know that so many don't know these things. So anyway, he says, started with him saying, many are the sorrows and troubles of my people. These are not ready for the hard times that are coming. Yes, they are many. They are many that are not seeking knowledge into the hard times that you know are waiting just ahead. But I am a God of mercy. I am a God of love. I will make a way for many of the many. It is you, my people, who I plan to use. Yes, I will plan to use strategically in place and with people who you will know that you are to show and give the knowledge that you have. You will know for my merciful eyes will be watching, and I will know when to move upon you to speak. It would be me and you. Many will not have knowledge of me that they need. This is also how I will use you. The time is now. Be ready to speak for me and of me. Be ready to share the deeper knowledge of salvation that others may know. Be ready to help them know about things coming and how to be ready in me. You will know just what to say. You will be able to input faith into them, for you will speak my words of faith. I will have my people everywhere, being aware of what I am letting you know now. Prepare hearts. Be ready to prepare hearts. Seek me. That's what I got. Thank you.
Amen. Man, that went right along with what we're talking about tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's all be ready. Be ready to share the gospel. It's not hard.
Yeah, when I got that, I was thinking about just standing in line at a grocery store, and there's a long enough time before you're going to check in. And I don't know if God would have us even, what he said, he'll move us. He'll move upon us. And you're ready to just say something to standing right in front, and doesn't, not much, something to get people, the ones that he wants, to know what's going on. And maybe perhaps out of that, start seeking him. Am I ready for this stuff, Lord? So I just think he really is meaning what he's saying, for us to be ready to speak to somebody at any time, all the time.
Thank you, Jesus. You might just break out in a Walmart line here somewhere, saying, "Victory is mine." Just break out and start singing. Everybody join in with you. Boy, you just have a revival right there in the soap aisle or somewhere, Clean everybody up right there in the soap aisle. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. I had a vision one time of being in Walmart, and they was healing for one thing over one aisle, and they was deliverance in another aisle, and another aisle they was healing for something else, and another aisle they were coming to Jesus. It was, the whole Walmart was a church. Yeah, that's been some years back. I still remember. Anybody else?
I think it may be like that one of these days.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Go to aisle three for healing.
Lord, put boldness in us. Put boldness in us to share the gospel with the signs and wonders and everything else, Lord. That's what's going to bring people in. That's why we're talking about who we are in Christ a lot, and encouraging each other with the Word of God about who we are in Christ. And when we do that a lot, you'll finally start getting it in your spirit, and you'll understand who you are in Christ, and you'll be bold to go out there and lay hands on the sick. Not only that, to give the gospel out. To give the gospel. The gospel is simple. It's very simple. Thank you, Jesus. It is. All right, anyone else want to share something? We got 15 minutes left, 16 minutes, I think. No, 17 minutes. How would you talk to a Muslim? You know how you talk to him? Talk to him about something I know. That's Jesus. They know about Jesus, but they don't know about the love of Jesus. I heard a testimony one time, not too long ago, about a Muslim that came to Christ simply because he read about the love of Christ, and all he'd ever known as a Muslim was hate and criticism and judgmental and all that kind of stuff and all of the bad things. And when he found out that Jesus was of love and what he did and how he did, he came to Jesus, man. He said, "I couldn't." He said, "I'm tired of all this other stuff." He said, "I like love." And boy, he came in a big way, is what I understand. That's been some time ago I saw that. And how many have Jesus come and visited? Y'all seen those, haven't you? Where Jesus come into a whole family. He's doing that all over the Muslim countries, bringing people to him. Why aren't you doing you said that I am in your book? He said, "That's the wrong book. Get you a good book." In my book. Oh, get my Holy Spirit's book. There's a lot of angels around y'all out there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, it looked like the storm passed us by, so I don't guess we have to worry about it anymore. I wasn't worried about it anyway. David and I prayed, and we knew it was going to buy. We weren't going to get affected by it. Barbara, how are you doing up there in wherever it is you're at, Pennsylvania?
I'm doing fine up here.
Fine as wine in the summertime?
Well, the Holy Spirit's here.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What's that, Joe? Go ahead, Joe.
Can I just, but Buzz, I posted 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 2. Just for interest, probably you all know about this, but the house he built was 60 cubits and 40 and 60 and 30 and 20. But just for interest sake, length, it's 60. It means pride. Father says to Jesus, this is my beloved son. 20 means redemption. He bought with us with a price. 30 means dedication. It's the blood of Christ. So in other words, he said, he built it a physical house, but in spiritual, that means Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
No, just interesting, but what that means, that 60, that 30, and that 20 means, the meaning of that. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. It's pride, redemption, and the blood of Christ, but what 60, 30, and 20 means.
Amen. I'm going to have to write that one down. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody got good weather around where you are? Is it nice and warm? I went out walking today, and it was nice. Boy, it was a nice day. Me and Jesus went walking.
Were you walking in the shade, Michael?
Well, a lot of I was over at the plantation park, you know, at that asphalt drive down there. It's all shaded. Till I get over to the plantation, when I get in plantation, I'm always in the sun because that's what I like. I tend to sun.
I thought it was hot in the sun.
Well, yeah, it's not feels good, don't it? Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool in here now. It's 80 degrees. Cool down a little, quite a bit, actually. It was 91. Y'all act like it. Good gracious. Oh, my. Hey, look at Debbie. Quit that, girl. Oh my. Well, let me say this: when you live and when you've lived in that type of weather most of your life, you know it's where you're from. Y'all like the cold. I like the hot. Matthew likes the cold. Now, Debbie, I know you don't like the cold.
No, I don't like the cold. I don't like the hot. I like the in between.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I like hot. Yeah, Missy. You like the hot too? No, you like cold.
I like the in between.
What temperature?
Well, I'd be happy if it was no higher than 80 degrees all summer long.
80 degrees.
No hotter than 80 degrees all summer long.
Oh gosh, that's just crazy. Well, you know, when I was in Morocco, we had 2 weeks in what was it? That was in August, September, sometime along in there. They called them Siroc winds that would come in for 2 weeks, and we didn't have air conditioning in the barracks, and it would get up to sometimes he'd get up to 130, 135, and we'd have to. You did one of two things. You run it, you know, you stayed up and put your face in a fan, or you run over to the comm stay communication stations where they had air conditioning, slept in the halls. Some of them did that. I didn't do it. If I had a fan in my face, I was okay. I could sleep. But yeah. Y'all don't have real hot weather up there, do you, Ben, Andrew? Can
I'm
y'all
sorry,
go?
I didn't catch that.
I said, y'all don't have real hot weather up there, do you?
The highest I've seen it is 38 with a Humidex. Well, that's
That's
Celsius. I'm
Yeah, I
sorry.
fix to say that's almost freezing. Don't know Celsius.
I'll give you a number here. Thirty-eight. That's 100 degrees.
Oh, well, that's
But
nice.
that's with humidity. So that's
Yeah.
pretty, it's yucky. It's not a good
Yeah.
heat up here. You guys have it pretty, from what I've heard, you guys have it pretty dry. No? All right. What do I know?
Not really. Not really. Humidity right now is about 90% out there.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. It stays right around this time of year. It stays somewhere between 70 and 80%.
That's gross.
In Morocco, when I was in the country of Morocco, there was no humidity at all. I'm telling you, it was zero. And that's why it wasn't as hot as you thought it was. As they said it was, because there's no humidity. It's a dry heat.
I see. West Coast is dry.
Yeah.
And you guys are more east, right? Tennessee is, yeah,
We're
it's
on the
east.
far eastern side of Tennessee.
You guys are right side. Are you guys right beside Louisiana?
No,
No.
we're on the other side of Tennessee. That's on the western side of Tennessee. Actually, Tennessee bumps up against Arkansas and Missouri.
Well, all right. Geography
And
lessons.
below it is Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia.
Alrighty.
And over on the east side is South Carolina, North Carolina.
You guys have so many like states. I can't even remember all of our provinces.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is your provinces like our states?
Dad would know better than me. I'm not a geography or a political guy or anything, so I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You have a lot drier out there. I was in San Diego there for months. I think it was 12 months, or no, not 12 months. About 7 or 8 months during boot camp, back in 66. Was good weather. I loved it out there. I was there during the wintertime, December, and it'd get up 75, 80. I was in my And the boys from up north, I said, good gracious, I can stand this weather. I said, I love it. Okay, yeah, Pat.
I believe I was in San Diego around 66, but I was, my brother was in the Navy and he was on a, I think he was on with what they called a minesweeper. And he took me out. I got to go out with them, with the Navy, on this minesweeper. I don't know, maybe it was, I don't know how they even get away with that now. Who knows? But anyway, and he took me on a tour around the, you know, the boat and everything, and it was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
that's the first in that city was the first time I ever saw a roller derby.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was it women or men?
Both.
Both.
You know, yeah. That was pretty wild, too, man. I've never seen anything like that before. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I'm getting some heated exchanges.
They do. Yes. Anyway, it was kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay. Roller derby. Ooh, they still do that? Do they?
We've had one or two up here.
Being
oh, yeah. I've been to one or two. Oh, yeah.
You look like you're a fan of roller derby. All right. Yeah. Yeah, you know all that. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. It's been a wonderful experience for all of us to know that you really care for us. You want us to be bold in our faith. And not only that, Lord, to seek you every day in the secret place and to be with you and to talk with you and to enjoy our times together, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody that's listening and in the outreach itself. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time in just a few days, it looks like. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we're all ready. We're all of us ready in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, folks. Y'all be blessed. You hear?